We offered all glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam, but we don't have any Bhagavatam here. What to do? The essential prop of this class is Srimad Bhagavatam. But they said that we should discuss about Narasimhadev. So that's the, he's appearing tomorrow. But still, where do we get the information from about this wonderful, supreme personality of Godhead? Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh? And that would be really helpful, because otherwise, without Prabhupada's explanations, then I'm lost. What to do? You can't expect me to just tell you something about Narasimhadev, because I don't know anything. I know he's here. We are fortunate. We just sang the song, the prayers, by Ito Narasimha, Parato Narasimha. He's everywhere. He's inside, outside, in our hearts. He's everywhere. But he's also here present, personally. And he came by his own sweet will. It wasn't an easy thing to bring him here, but it happened. The idea was there. Everything's born from subtle to gross, right? So first there's an idea, and then it's developed and it manifests, or not, but generally it manifests. So there was an idea to bring Narasimhadev here in a specific form. The Lord has, Lord Narasimhadev has various forms. And Ugra Narasimha was the form that was wanted here in for Mayapur. But the Stapati, the people who make these deities, he refused. No, that form is too dangerous. It's not good. Shouldn't be done. You take Lakshmi Narasimha, very peaceful. But there was some persistence, and so ultimately he manifests. Of course, he manifests by his own will. Just like he manifested by his own will when he appeared. I think you all remember the story. Hiranyakashipu was very angry with his son. He's continually talking about Vishnu, Krishna, to his friends. He wouldn't accept the authority of his father. Prabhupada mentions that he didn't always address him as father, but rather, what was it? O best amongst the Asuras. That's how he addressed his father. O best amongst the Asuras. That's very bold. Very bold statement. This is a 5-year-old boy we're talking about. So, what was I saying? Oh yeah, he appeared. First there was this tumultuous sound, never heard before. You know, now's the stormy season, and we get, especially in the night time, there's these storms in the evening, night time, and there's flashes of lightning, and then there's this thunder, huge thunder. A couple of nights ago it was like that. And people get a little afraid, especially maybe younger people. But this sound was like that, but magnify it millions of times. It pierced the whole universe, and nobody heard anything like that. Everyone was flipping out, we say, freaking out. What's this? And Hiranyakashipu, what's this? And then the Lord appeared by his own sweet will from that pillar, which Hiranyakashipu had slapped. Is he here? I said, yeah, he's there. And Nisringadev, by his own sweet will, to make the words of his devotee, his pure devotee, Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad, true, he appeared from that pillar. Okay, where are we? Oh, this one doesn't have the, it's in part two. Okay, at least we've got it here. At least we can worship. But the appearance is in the next book, I think. It's not here. Anyway, it was like that. He burst out of the pillar, a form that was so wonderful, never been seen, never been imagined before. The hairs on his body, white, like the moon beams. Ferocious. So many hands in all directions. And immediately started striking out at the soldiers, the men, Hiranyakashipu's men. And Hiranyakashipu, who is this? What is this? And immediately picked up his weapons, and very bold and very proud that he's going to now defeat this. He said, it must be, he'd never seen anything like it. And it probably didn't occur to him, because he thought he was invincible, right? He thought he was invincible. We all think we're invincible in some way or another, but he thought he was invincible. He had all these boons from Lord Brahma. And he thought he was very smart. He thought he covered all the bases, right? He cannot be killed in the night, cannot be killed in the day, cannot be killed by a man, cannot be killed by an animal, can't be killed by a weapon, this, that. So many boons he asked Brahma for, and Brahma said, yes, yes, yes. Initially he asked for immortality, and Brahma said, I can't give you that. I don't even have that. So then he thought he was smart, he got all these boons. So now he had all the bases. So this wonderful being appeared there, and it didn't occur to him that he thought he was invincible. It didn't occur to him that, well, this is the end for him. He was invincible. He had the bases covered, or so he thought. Half man, half lion. So it wasn't a man, it wasn't an animal. He wasn't a man, he wasn't an animal. Anyway, he attacked. And Nisringadev started to play around with him. I don't have the Bhagavatam shlokas, but the printing is very bad, but I have here some shlokas which were recently published, and apparently they haven't been published before. They were just recently translated from, it was published in the, what is that called, the Bindu, something, something, Bindu, by Madhavananda Prabhu, down in Bhubaneswar. There you go, Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. So it was published in the recent edition of he said that these have not been heard. So I thought I would share them with you. Very nice. Shatro pranay nila pancha vayam dosha jayo traka iti kopad vatamrita pantu no narahari naka. May the fingernails of Narahari, Nishinga, who are assuming a reddish color and are thinking the enemy only has 5 life heirs, while we are 10. In number, 10 in number. It's the printing's really bad, there's all this stuff, so it's, forgive me, it's, I'm struggling here. So now, so how can the enemy win against us? Protect you all. So these are the fingernails of the Lord speaking here, that how, or he's saying that, may the fingernails of Narahari protect you all, and the fingernails are thinking, well, there's 10 of us, and there's only 5 life heirs, you know, and the body has 5 life heirs. But there's 10 of us, so how can the enemy win against us? It goes on. It's also about the fingernails. I can't get the Sanskrit of this one, but on the translation. Even the fingernails are not able to look at the angry face of Nrisimhadev, made angrier by the slaughter of Diti's son in battle. That is the reason why these nails are bent down, as if cowering away in fear. May the sole hero of the universe named Narahari, Nrisimha, bestow happiness upon you. Next verse. Fearing the destruction of his body, the enemy, Hiranyakashipu, entered into Nrisimha's nails. Nrisimha, being astounded at this disappearance, thought, where is he? Where is he? And looked everywhere. Not finding him, Nrisimha said, oh, it was all in vain, and banged his palm on the wall. Thus the demon fell down like a speck of dust on the ground. Seeing him like this, the Lord laughed loudly. All glories to that Lord Nrisimhadev. So in the Bhagavatam, when you read the description of this pastime, it speaks about how the Lord is playing around with Hiranyakashipu like a mouse, cat and mouse. They have a cat and mouse game, and also describes how the effulgence of the Lord was so wonderful, and so that Hiranyakashipu became invisible. Couldn't see him, because he was covered over by the effulgence of the Lord. But in these games, he was trying to hide. and he hid in the Lord's nails, according to this description. And then, of course, the Lord knows everything. He knew where he was. But just as he's playing, it's a playful mood. Said, "Oh, he's gone. What happened? Now I can't find him." And then he slapped his hand against the wall, and the demon fell out. Next verse. "If I throw away this body of the enemy of the demigods, then the oceans will overflow, the earth will drown in the causal ocean, the lower planets will be destroyed, the universe will be shattered into pieces, and the heavens will fall down." Thinking like this, he kept bearing the body of the dead Hiranyakashipu on his lap. "May that Hari, who appeared as a lion, protect you all." So there's some new verses in glorification of the Lord, and especially his fingernails, for you all to meditate on. And where did it come from? Subhasita Ratna Bandagaram. I don't know what the source is, but since Madhavananda published it, I think I can accept it as bona fide, because he's very particular about these things. So the wonderful Narasimha, who by good fortune we are able to worship here in his Ugra form, ferocious form. Yesterday somebody asked a question about Grihasthas worshipping him. But we're all Grihasthas and we worship him. It's not that we don't worship him. We worship him from afar. But once a year we go close. Once or twice a year we go close. Right? Some of us. But we're all worshipping him. We may not be doing the puja for him, but we're all worshipping him, I hope. I think so. We greet him morning, noon and night, every day. And I know many, many devotees who are taking shelter of this wonderful form of the Lord, myself included. He's not my Easter day, but he's certainly... what happens when devotees get in trouble? What's the first thing, generally? Generally, right? "Nishinga, Nishinga, protect me." He's the protector of the devotees. And I think Maharaj said in yesterday that in Mayapur, he gives Krishna Bhakti, Raj Bhakti, which is, that's what everyone wants, no? Yes, you want? Sinanivas Prabhu, where's the mic? Is there a mic? You should tell us something, if you don't mind. I don't have the book, otherwise I could have gone a lot further. But without the book, I'm kind of lost. Maybe you could say something about the Lord.
About the house that's worshipping the Shingadev?
Whatever you want. Yeah. That's an interesting topic.
No, I was saying this before it happened. Bhakti Vitupurna Swami Maharaj said that the reason is generally said that the brahmacharis who worship Ugra Narsingha is because that Pallava was the only one who was able to approach him in his anger and ferocious form. Lord Brahma couldn't approach, Lakshmi couldn't approach, but Pallava could approach. So he said it's like on this basis that he made himself approachable to Pallava Maharaj, he said. He was just a little brahmachari. So he said that's just the way it is. That's the way the pastime happened, and that's how Lord and Srinadev liked it. So we generally will follow that kind of word.
Who was speaking?
Bhakti Vitupurna Swami.
Maharaj, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Well, that's interesting, because yesterday Maharaj was giving, and I didn't remember, he was saying that the Stapati had mentioned this point, but that sounds much more authoritative, that because, yeah, if we remember the story, if we remember, go back to the Bhagavatam and we hear, nobody could approach, he was so angry and so ferocious, Lord Brahma couldn't approach him. Lakshmi Dev, no one could approach him. Everyone was like shivering in their boots, as we say. Probably they didn't have boots, but anyway. But Prahlad, 5 years old, little Bhakta Prahlad, he didn't have any problem. He went forward and pacified the Lord, worshipped him and pacified him. And so in continuation of that, he was a young brahmachari. So in continuation of that, the brahmacharis are doing the direct puja for Ugra Narsingha. Right? He's Ugra Narsingha. He's that same ferocious form that is discussed, that came out of the pillar, that form. And he just disemboweled Hiranyakashipu, flecks of blood on his the hairs of his face, looking a big garland of the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. On his lap, the body of Hiranyakashipu. And as we heard in that verse, he kept him there because if he threw him down, it would have caused problems for the universe, this huge form, body. And Lord Brahma, who's like, you know, one of the presiding deities of the universe, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Lord Brahma, devotee, he couldn't approach, too scared, couldn't approach that form. But Prahlad Maharaj, that small 5-year-old son of Hiranyakashipu, pure devotee of the Lord, on whose behalf the Lord appeared, he approached and he was able to worship and pacify the Lord. And then you get all the other forms of Narsingha, Lakshmi Narsingha, and those are more approachable. And you find them worshipped all over India in different temples, and the Grihasthas are all doing that worship. But like I said, we're still worshipping him. We're Grihasthas and we're still worshipping him. We may not be doing his daily puja and all the direct services for him, but we're still worshiping him from afar, and we still have a relationship with him. Relationship. And what is that relationship? Well, it'll be different for all of us, but he's very, you know, I've been told, I've heard that I should pray to him to with those same claws, the same nails that he disemboweled Hiranyakashipu. I use those nails to pull out from my heart all the unwanted anarthas and sinful blackness that's there. So that's one prayer that devotees can make to Lord Nrisimhadeva. He's a protector, he protects, but he can also rip out from the heart of the devotee all the unwanted things, if you want. It's our choice. We have independence. We are parts and parcels of the Lord, so therefore we have all his qualities, most of his qualities, not all of his qualities, most of his qualities in minute form. So he's supremely independent, right? The Lord, is he independent? So supremely independent. So we also have independence. So we can choose. So if we choose, we can pray to this Lord Nrisimha, Ugra Nrisimha, who's here, to assist us, to help us by ripping out with those sharp nails of his all the unwanted things within our hearts. And then when we get in trouble, when we're in a dangerous situation, of course, he's generally the first person that we think about. Nrisimha, Nrisimhadev, protect us. That's what Prahlad said. He said, you don't have to be afraid. When you're in trouble, you can think of this Lord Nrisimhadev, who is a protector. He protected me, and he'll protect you. There's a mic there. Does anyone want to offer some glorification of Lord Nrisimha? Anyone else? Or perhaps we can, perhaps there's a question. I probably won't be able to answer it, but I could try. Give the mic to this Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, so my experience, whenever I enter into the mandir, by seeing the Lord Nrisimha Swami, in the mind what I am feeling, you know, his ferocious form is also one way better to the people. Why? Because, you know, people will be, they will think, you know, Lakshmi Nrisimha Swami is there, so that we will change our character and we will say our, we will be very cautious in our day-to-day life. That's one way it's better also, by seeing the ferocious, we are really fortunate to see the Lord Nrisimha Swami's form as a Ugra Nrisimha Swami. Just whenever I come into this mandir and see the temple and Lord Nrisimha Swami's darshan, I feel in such a way in my mind. It's one way indirectly it is helping us also by seeing his form, you know, at least we must be cautious in our future life to have a very good qualities, and otherwise, you know, we are getting some fear. Suppose if we do any commitment, any mistake here, then naturally we are going to face the problems. So to avoid the problems, and by Lakshmi Narasimha Swami's blessings, you know, it's one way cautious, what I'm feeling is my experience in by looking at the Lord Narasimha Swami. So hence, I'm always to the Lord Narasimha Swami's blessings. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. You spoke a little fast, so I don't know if everyone understood what you said. Did you understand? Prabhu was making the point that for him, what I understood, he can correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard was that he, when he sees the form of Narasimha, then that fearful form, it helps to also keep him in line, that fearful form. And keep him in line and encourages him to develop good qualities so that he doesn't have to face the wrath of Narasimha. Is it correct what I said? Yes. In order not to face the wrath of that ferocious lord, he is encouraged to develop good qualities and develop his good qualities and become stronger. Yes? So that was the point Prabhu was making. You want the mic? Pass.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class and helping us remember Lord Narasimha Dev. And because you ask if there is any contribution, I am reading now a book on Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and he says that in his prayers, he says, please remember that the son of Mother Sachi is none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj, that this is our only Lord and no one else but Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So while I was reading this book and other devotees also reading, someone commented that after reading these verses, when he came to see Lord Narasimha Dev, he felt, oh, this is like Lord Krishna, because Lord Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us this, no, to remember that he is the beloved son of Nanda Maharaj. So he, while looking at Lord Narasimha Dev, said, this is playful Krishna playing, because we know little children, they like to play and imitate battles and things like that. So he was looking at Narasimha Dev with this vision, trying to follow the instructions of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, that we should only worship Lord Krishna. And thus we should see the son of Mother Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in the same way, when he saw Lord Narasimha Dev, he was seeing him with this vision. And I find it very, very nice meditation.
Yes. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original candle. Mahaprabhu is a direct manifestation of Krishna, Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. And Narasimha Dev is one of those candles, same person, different form, and exhibiting different playful pastimes in order to protect his devotees. Keep the word of his devotees. He was protecting Prahlad, but he was also making the word of Prahlad true. And he was also making the word of Lord Brahma true. Right? Lord Brahma gave all those boons to Hiranyakashipu. But he had to die So the only way that he could die was if the Lord came in this wonderful form. So to keep the word of Brahma, he came. And Prahlad was telling his father, preaching to his father, Vishnu is everywhere. He's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu said, what are you talking about? Is he here? Is he here? Is he in this pillar? Yes, he's there. He's in the pillar. And so Hiranyakashipu thought he was being smart also. And then the Lord appeared out of that pillar. And so he was keeping the word of his pure devotee, Shriman Prahlad. And obviously protecting him, because the father was about to kill him, wanted to kill him, take his head off. So yeah, this is true. All right, yes, go ahead. We have a few minutes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you mentioned in the class that as a devotee, practicing devotee, we should pray to the Lord Nrisingdev to remove the anarthas from our heart. So I've heard this thing before also from my spiritual mentors. So, but what I find that sometimes when I go before the Lord, I pray like that, but internally I'm still maintaining that attachment. So it's like a duplicitous thing. I'm doing a lip service in form of prayer. So I mean, how should I look about this, or should I continue with the prayers, or what will happen about this?
You see, I mentioned in the class, everything moves from subtle to gross, right? And that's a fact. Nothing goes from gross to subtle. I mean, development is all from subtle to gross. You find that everywhere in the universe. That's how things work. So subtle has this, you know, mind, intelligence, false ego. This is what we consider subtle. And then the five gross elements are there, which is your body is made up of those five elements. So desire is the key, right, to everything, right? And we have desires. You can't get away from that. And you can't, you know, the people who say stop desires, that's a foolish proposition, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna also has desires, so we have desires. The point is to change the consciousness of those desires, right? Desires for ourselves, or desires in connection with the Lord. And when they're in connection with the Lord, they're perfect, right? And what gets us into trouble is desires separate from the Lord. Okay? So we have all this from millions of lifetimes, we have all this baggage, and we're trying to get rid of the baggage. And as you say, so then we pray. We pray to the devotees, we pray to the Lord for help, because we don't have the capacity on our own, right? So when we're praying, like you said, sometimes it's a little rote. We're just praying. We say the prayer or we say the thing, but it's not coming from the heart. Right? But that doesn't matter in beginning stages. That's what it is. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're not chanting in a pure way. But we're chanting. We're following the process. We're doing the practice. And practice makes perfect. That's what they say, right? So you have to continue. You have to... Someone asked Prabhupada, you know, Humility is one of the ornaments of devotee, but how do you become humble? How to become humble? Act in that way. And in the beginning, when you act in that way, it may be a false humility. You don't really feel like that, but you're doing it. You're serving the devotees, you're serving them prasad. Oh, Prabhu, come, take prasad, and you're serving. And you're acting. You're not really in that mood, but you're acting. But by that action, by continuing that action, by that practice, then it manifests. So you have to continue with that practice. That's called sadhana bhakti. We're practicing. We're trying to purify ourselves, and we take the help of the devotees and the Lord. And, you know, praying to the Lord is part of that process. And even if we don't have the deep understanding within the heart, you continue and serve. Praying is one thing, but action is required. You have to serve. By that service, you become purified also. You have to serve the devotees, serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Same thing, serving the mission means serving Prabhupada, right? So serve the devotees, pariprashnena sevaya. You question, you do the work, but you serve. And by that process, the heart becomes purified, and at one point, your prayer will be real. So don't stop because you think it's not real. Make it real by your service and by the purificatory process. It'll become real. Hare Krishna. Talking too much? Sorry.
It's just that we're talking about prayer. So there's an actual prayer in the Bhagavatam from Canto 5, text 18. The prayers offered by the Lord, to the Lord, by the residents of Jambudvip. I just want to read the prayer, is that okay?
Sure.
It's a translation, so it's not very long. It's text 8. I mean, this was mentioned, I heard from Gopal Krishna Maharaj, so I thought of just bringing it up again. The prayer goes like this. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So that's an actual prayer by the residents of Jambudvip to the Lord. I just wanted to bring it up.
Thank you very much. Shri Nrsimhadev Bhagavan ki. Nrsimha Chaturdasi Mahamohotsava ki. Gaur Premanandi.